praise the Lord. Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we praise you. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I believe that today God's purpose is transformative within our lives. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 8, verse number 31, John chapter 8, verse 31, one of the most familiar passages, I think, in the Bible for many, John 8, verse 31. And if you would read it audibly with me, we finished our series When Pigs Fly last Sunday morning, and we're beginning just a single message today. This is not part of a series. And so John chapter 8, verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And if the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." My subject for this morning, and I am going to be conscious of the time, as I try to be sometimes, I want to speak on the subject of free indeed. Free indeed. And I want you to join with me in prayer that God will touch our lives today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the presence of your Spirit we sense here today. Lord, the way that you've been moving among us, I praise you for it. And I ask you, Lord, that you would anoint my mind, my lips to speak the words of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint our hearts to receive your word into our lives. Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor and the praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Before you're seated, turn around, shake hands with somebody beside you and tell them, free indeed. Jesus was a disruptor. Jesus was, of course, a rabbi, but he was a disruptor. Wherever he went, he was challenging the established religion of the day. They had gotten away from the heart. They had gotten away from the essence of what God wanted. And in the passage that our scripture reading is taken from, Jesus was at it again. Some of his enemies tried to trap him. They brought to him a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and the law said that she had to die. Now, I've mentioned before, I don't understand why they didn't bring the guy. That's another story. They brought the woman to Jesus, and they were hoping to trap him, because if he said she should be put to death, then they would say, "You are so harsh and judgmental, you're not the guy of mercy." If he said, "I think we should give her a second chance, I think we should be kind to her," they would say, "The law says she has to die." It was one of those hypothetical questions, because they couldn't put her to death anyway. They were not allowed to. And instead, Jesus turned the tables on them. He began to simply write in the sand as they were gathered around him, and they began to disperse. And theologians have tried to figure out exactly what he wrote. We don't know. And finally, he looks up, and there's only this woman still standing there. And he says, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "Lord, they're all gone." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Now, notice that word condemn. It's going to come up later. "Neither do I condemn thee." And then something that's very pivotal, he said, "Go and sin no more." He said, "This is your second chance. Take advantage of it. Be different. Live differently." And then he went farther. He made statements like, "I and my Father are one." And they said, "We're going to kill him." And then he said, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And they said, "We're really going to kill him." And then he begins to deal with prisons and bondage. You know, I've been to several different prisons over the years, never as an inmate. Just saying. Not yet, anyway. And the one thing I'm always glad of every time I go to one is that I can walk out. It's when you walk in and they close that door behind you. Now, you know that you're coming back out, but I'll tell you what, it's still to hear that clank or now the click. It's just, there's something about it. I was reading about some guys who were in a prison called Alcatraz, which is an island out in the bay. And they decided that they were going to break out. This was back in the 60s. And so there were three of them, so they made heads out of a mixture of soap and toilet paper and human hair. They put them in their beds to fool the prison officers who were making the inspections. And the story goes that over the course of a year, they used crude tools to carefully dig a tunnel under the cell walls that led them to a corridor that wasn't being used. And from that corridor, they reached the ventilation shaft to reach the roof. And so they climbed up to the roof, then they climbed down the roof, scaled the fence. Now, these guys were creative. They made a raft out of raincoats and contact cement that they'd stolen from the prison workshop. They pumped up the raft, shoved off from the island at around 10 o'clock at night, and they weren't discovered as missing until the next morning. Now, they thought nobody could ever break out of here. After a 17-year investigation, the FBI concluded that the three men must have drowned in the bay. There was never any trace of them ever making shore. Even the FBI said that what they did was ingenious. They came so close to being free, and yet never experienced freedom. Jesus was talking about prisons and prisoners and slaves and servants, and he wasn't talking about physical prisons. He wasn't talking about prisons with guards at the doors. He was talking about a problem that is endemic among the human race. He was talking about the problem of sin and how sin holds us captive, how sin keeps us from being truly free. How sin gets its hands on you and it keeps you from being what God wants you to be, sin. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, and he said this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. That means every person on the planet, whether we like to admit it or not, has sinned. tragic. Because the Bible also teaches us that sin separates from a holy God. And the problem with sin is that none of us on our own have the ability, the talent, the strength, the knowledge to be able to overcome sin. Sin holds us captive. You can try to be good, but you discover that you're not good enough. You can turn over a new leaf until you have to buy a rake to rake them up. You'll find you can't turn over enough new leaves. You can do everything you can think of to try to reform yourself, and the problem is that sin runs deeper and is stronger than anything that you can do. And Jesus spoke into that. And he spoke about prisoners. He spoke about those who would do better but were unable to because of the sin that tragically held them bound. See, trying to escape sin on your own leads to the same end as those men at Alcatraz. We drown in our sins. Sin. The last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we were talking about miracles and how Jesus came and performed miracles, and he still performs miracles. But when Jesus came, the greatest miracle that he came to perform was not to heal a blind man. It wasn't to cast out an evil spirit. It wasn't to raise somebody from the dead. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus didn't come merely to multiply loaves and fishes. Because you see, you can be fed by the loaves and fishes, but you still have a huge problem you can't deal with. You can be healed of a disease, but you're still, at some point, you're still going to die. You can experience a miracle of protection, but at some point, something else is going to happen. Jesus came for something bigger. And in our "I'm okay, you're okay" kind of world, it's something that seems offensive and judgmental, but the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was true when Jesus walked the earth, and it's true now. By the way, lest you think that it doesn't include you, that word all means everybody, means everything. It's all. No exceptions. Except for Jesus. And so Jesus uses two passages here that speak about being set free. Verse number 32, he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Sometimes in our modern world, when we think of truth, we think of philosophical, abstract truth, a concept. But there is more here than that. You say, "Well, why did Jesus talk about truth making me free and then the Son making me free?" And here's a key thought for today. Truth is the knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus' own self. Truth is the knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus' own self. Let me back up a little bit. I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way." Notice that he didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way." He was exclusive. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus makes it clear as he uses the word truth interchangeably here. Jesus himself is the very revelation of God. This was a declaration that he made over and over again. There was a man who was sick of a palsy. Does anybody, you find it hot in here or are you cold? Hot. How many of you are hot? Hot? Some? How many of you are cold? How many of you are just in between? Good. Perfect. I'm running on the hot side this morning. A man sick of the palsy. His friends hear that Jesus is teaching, so they bring him to Jesus, but they can't get in the house. So they said, well, this is not good. Our friend really needs Jesus to heal him. So they said, we're going to do something that is just not done. They went up to the roof of the house. They began to dig a hole through the ceiling. They let their friend down. They wanted him to be healed. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at and he saw their faith. Not his faith. He saw their faith. Let me take a little aside here to tell you. You never know the good that your faith can do in somebody else's life. They may not be able to believe for themselves. They may not be able to muster up enough faith for it. But your faith can make a difference in somebody's life. So Jesus looked at, he saw their faith. And then it says that he looked at him and he said, son, your sins be forgiven thee. And the guys on the roof, no doubt, were looking at it and saying, that's not why we brought him here. We brought him here because he can't walk and we want him healed. And then the religious people in the crowd were looking and they're listening and they're saying, uh-oh, this is not good. This is stirring us up now. This is blasphemy here. Because who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, looking at them, knew what they were. You know, that's the thing about God. You can fool the preacher, you can fool people, but you never fool God. And Jesus looked at them and he said that he knew what they thought in their heart. And then he looked at them and he said this. He said, and this is Matthew 9 and 6, that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know what he was saying? He's saying, you're not wrong. Only God can forgive sins. And by the way, still only God can forgive sins. I can't forgive sins. Only God can. And he said, that you might know that I can forgive sins. He turns around to the sick guy. And he said, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. In other words, he's saying, when this guy gets up and walk, it's going to show you that if I can do this, I can do that. That who you think I'm saying I am is really who I am. Let me take you to another time. He's teaching in the temple. His adversaries say, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, you know, it seems like a simple statement to us. Just seems like a little bit of bad grammar. Jesus said, before Abraham was, this is John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Now, for you grammarians here, you teachers, you people who like grammar, at first glance, that seems like his tense was off. But you've got to understand what happens next. Everybody standing around, they started picking up big rocks because they were angry, they were mad. Because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. You see, sometimes we read it, we don't get it. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They picked up big rocks, they wanted to stone him because what he was saying was, before Abraham was, I am was a divine name of God. And so what Jesus was saying before Abraham ever was, I am. And they said, you're claiming to be God, and we believe there's only one God, and we don't think you're him. Are you with me now? Okay, we're going deeper here, but we'll come up. He said, before Abraham ever was, I am. Now, Paul would put it this way, that great is the mystery of godliness. that God was manifest in the flesh. What he's saying is that when Jesus walked the earth, that it was God walking among them. And what Jesus said was, while I'm here among you, it's God walking among you today. Can I tell you, Paul said that he is the express image of the Godhead bodily. He was a disruptor. They didn't like what he was telling them. And then he said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Because the path to freedom is not belief in an abstract truth. The path to freedom is relationship with Jesus. The path to freedom is not learning a creed. It's not learning to repeat something. It's not even just memorizing scriptures. The path to freedom is a relationship with Jesus Christ alone. No one else is capable of breaking the chains of sin. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, notice this, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. I want you to notice that. It's really important. Because you belong to Jesus, how do you belong to Jesus? You obey the gospel. We'll get to that at the end. Because you belong to Jesus, you have been made free from the power of sin. Now, I'm preaching to somebody here today who hasn't quite grasped this, even though you're a follower of Jesus. And that is that when you begin to follow Jesus, when you become his follower, he breaks the power of sin over your life. I got one amen there. I'll take another one if I can get it. He breaks the power of sin over your life. You are not bound by sin. You do not have to sin. And the devil cannot make you sin. If you sin, it's your own choice. You don't sin because that's who you are anymore. You sin because of a choice, not because you have to. Notice this. Go on to verse number 3, Brother Chris. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. This goes back to, you know what you should do, but you can't do it. Anybody ever experienced that? You know what you should do, you know how you should respond, you know all that, but ooh, it's hard. And that was the problem with the law. The law showed what was wrong, but couldn't transform into what was right. Now look at this verse. So God did what the law could not do. And he sent his own son in a body like the body we sinners have. I like this next part. Now it might not mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to me. He said, and I want you to notice this, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Notice that. What we could not do, what the law could not do, God said, I'm going to make a way. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took every sin you've ever committed and he said, I paid the price for your sin. And he whom the Son sets free. He didn't say you were going to be partially free. He didn't say there's going to be limitations there, that I'm always going to leave something. He said, but he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus breaks the dominion of sin over your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you repented of your sins, If you become a part of his family in water baptism, let me tell you, he wants to fill you with his spirit, the power to live above sin. And that power of sin is broken over your life. You are free. You're free from the penalty and the shame of sin. You know, we used to sing a song years ago. Maybe this is retro song day for me. We used to sing a song that said, "Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus and I've been born again." There's something, there's truth about that, that when you are born again, you are free from the power and the penalty of sin, from the guilt of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which was part of the scripture we just read, he said, "For there is therefore now no condemnation." You say, "Well, pastor, sometimes I get in church and you get preaching and I get the feeling bad, and isn't that condemnation?" Let me tell you about condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is what the enemy uses in your life to try to push you down. Because condemnation tells me how bad I am, and even more, how bad I could be. It pushes me down. On the other hand, conviction is what the Holy Spirit does in your life. He comes alongside and says, "Here's something that's not right. Here's something that's dangerous." And then he points you to the cross. He points you to the cross and the remedy for your sin and your shame, and says, "Let's get this looked after and let's get on the road to victory again." Conviction points you to your sin to be released from it. Condemnation just pushes you farther down. And he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them." You know, sometimes the enemy comes along. I told you I was going to watch the time, and I am. I know exactly what time it is. Don't worry. But the enemy comes along and he tries to tell you, you can't walk in victory because you failed in the past. You can't walk in victory because you had this or you had that happen, or this relationship or that happened, and you failed and you're nothing and you're lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. You're just down there. You're detestable. God could never love you. That's condemnation. But then you need to stand up. You need to plant your feet on God's word. And you need to put your shoulders back. Oh, I can tell you, it feels like an apostolic Pentecostal church in here today. You can put your shoulders back. And you can be, you know, the devil hates it when you quote Bible to him. But Jesus quoted Bible to him. And if you want it, you quote Bible. "There is therefore now, Mr. Devil, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." And I'm in Jesus and he's in me. And you need to get out of here. Woo! No condemnation. I've got to hurry to bring this to a close. He frees us from the power and the bondage of sin. The tragedy is that sometimes we build prisons ourselves because of past experiences, because of past relationships. You know, somebody here, you still struggle because when you were younger, someone told you you were no good. And every time you try to do something, you've got that echo in your ears that, and it may have been, you know, that person, it may have been so long ago, they're dead now. But that those words just kind of ring in your ears that you can't be anything. And why can't you just be like somebody else instead of being you? And the devil uses that to torment you. But let me tell you about Jesus, that Jesus comes to tear down those prisons that we build ourselves, even as we're followers of Jesus. Free. Free. You see, the devil brings the lie, Jesus brings the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is that Jesus thought you were to die for. And you've got to see, I want this up on the screen. Can we put it up there? You've got to see your worth as God sees it and learn to see you as God sees you.
You know, the devil tells you you're nothing, and Jesus says you're a child of God. The devil says you'll never be anything, but Jesus says, with me you can do all things. The devil says you'll never amount to a hill of beans, but God says you are my masterpiece I'm working on. You know what? You can even come into church today and be all bound up in worship, and you can't worship God because you got something against somebody or you've got something going on. Let me tell you what Jesus came to do. He came to tear down those prisons that you build yourself. Look at 2 Peter 2:18. They brag about themselves. This is New Living. With empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires. And then notice this, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of destruction. Did you ever notice when you start living for God and you came out of all kinds of things and you were doing things that were harmful to your body and harmful to your relationships and you come to Jesus and you get on the right road and all of a sudden, you know, you're feeling better than you've ever felt and your life is going great and the sun is shining and then people start coming out of the woodwork to try to pull you back and try to say, what are you doing? And how, you know, it's amazing to me how somebody gets their life cleaned up, breaks out of addiction, breaks out of the old habits, gets on the right path, starts getting some money together, actually holds a job, and then people start coming out of the woodwork to try to pull them back. And they say, don't you be too religiously fanatical now. But he and the sun sets free. Oh, let's go on here. They promise freedom. But they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to what controls you. You are a slave to what controls you. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he breaks the prison. And then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. You know, I've met Christians who God has freed them from so many things. And then it's like they want to go back to the prison and just sit inside the cell. Oh, Pastor, I'm not doing anything. No. The door's not locked. But when Jesus sets you free, you need to make up your mind. I'm going to stay free. Yes. When Jesus sets you free, you need to make up your mind. I'm not going back even for a visit. I'm not going back. I'm going in the other direction so far that you'll never see me there again because I've been changed. I've been changed. Oh, you know, come back to the music. I'm going to quit, I think. Prisons of fear. Prisons of greed. Prisons of doubt. Of anger. You know, sometimes we build prisons and we say, I'm so right in this. And you're angry all the time. And Jesus came to bring peace, not anger in your life. Doubt and bitterness. You know, there's nothing worse than bitterness because it's contagious. But we build a prison because you know people have wronged me and so did this and they did that. And you live in a prison that you're letting somebody else build and you say, I'm free. No. You need to get out of that prison and allow the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. It may be the prison of racism or insecurity or despair. Or depression, or prisons that other people try to build and put you in. It may be prisons made by gossip. We don't talk a lot about that because now it's taken to the internet. Oh, as my old pastor used to say, glory to God, praise the Lord, amen. You know, it used to be the telephone, and now it's Facebook. I've got to stop, but I'm going to stop. But let me just share this. When somebody backs up their garbage trunk garbage truck of gossip on your front lawn and wants to dump it? When they want to tell you everything that's wrong with everybody? You know, starting, they can start with the preacher and work their way on down. You know what you need to do? You need to put up a big old sign that says, no dumping here. And I don't advocate violence. Please understand, I don't advocate violence. But you need to get a Holy Ghost shotgun. And say, you're not dumping that stuff here. Because I'm a Holy Ghost filled child of God. And I haven't got time. Woo. And I haven't got time to go back. I haven't got time to live in the prison you want to build for me. I choose to believe. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm closing. Trust me. Philippians chapter 4, he said, and whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are pure, I'm not quoting it exactly, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Sometimes you got to say, hey, not here, no way, no how, not happening, because I've been set free, and I'm not letting you bring anything on me. I'm not letting you bring anything on me. I'm not going to get to finish this, but let me just give you one point. The people who were standing there that day, they said, what do you mean, be free? We're the sons of Abraham. We've never been prison. We've never been captive. And here's a statement that I think is so true. That denial is more than a river in Egypt. This is my altar call. You can be sitting here today and you can say, Pastor, that's great. Give it to him. Give it to her. Oh, Pastor, that's wonderful. But I've come here to preach that God wants to get into your spirit and into your heart and truly set you free. Sometimes denial is a huge problem medically. Well, I don't want to think about it, so therefore it isn't, but it doesn't change it. Pretending that a problem doesn't exist doesn't make it go away. Seven times Israel had been taken captive by various nations, and the Roman flag was flying over the capital that day. How often does pride cause us to refuse to admit there's a problem? Just one more drink, just one more pill, just one more smoke, just one more pornographic picture or video, one more relationship. I'm perfectly in control while I'm out of control. I've come here to preach to you, if you're thinking that today, that Jesus came to make you free, but first you've got to move past the denial to say, it's me, oh Lord. It's me. It's me. So we stand together. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets us free. Jesus taught them, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, knowing the truth brings you more and more into freedom from the prisons that we build. You notice I didn't say the sin that we can't break. I said the prisons we build. We build strongholds in our lives that God wants to break us free from, even when the power of sin has been broken in our lives. And today, I've come to preach that Jesus wants to set you free. You know what? You might be here today and outwardly you look pretty good and you got your hair combed and you got your, you know, fancy duds on and you're all got the smile on and you're just cat's meow. But internally, it may be a different story. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I've got sin issue that I've never dealt with, and today I want Jesus in my life. I want him to break the power of sin in my life. That starts with repentance, which means I come to God and I say, God, forgive me of my sin. I want to be different. And I'm going to go differently. And Lord, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me right now. You might be here this morning and that's where you're at. That today is the start of a new beginning for you. That today it's time to quit thinking, well, I'm in control and I can overcome. You can't overcome sin on your own. You need Jesus and what Jesus did. And this morning, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need forgiveness. I need God's touch in my life. Here's what I want you to do. It doesn't mean you're joining a church. It doesn't save you. It just means I know I need to do something. I want you just to raise your hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All right, thank you for that hand. You can put it down again. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's going to take a moment. Is there anybody else that say, I need Jesus today? Perhaps you're here today and you've been bound by prisons of anger, fear. Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to bring a healing within your life that will transform. And today, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you would pray with me right now. Jesus, we've worshiped, we've celebrated. Lord, we've had a great time in the